Maaser Sheni Perek Beis Mishnah Dalet. In Mishnah Beis of this Perek, Rabbi Shimon insisted that there were certain cases where we were makil on Truma even more than Maaser Sheni. Truma is only edible to a Kohen and not to a Zar, to a non-Kohen. Normally it's much more chamer. It's also much more susceptible to Tumah. Yet, there are two situations where we are makil with it compared to Maaser Sheni. One, we saw in Mishnah Gimel, was a situation with fenugreek. The second is this one, Mishnah Dalet, which talks about a crop called vetch, a legume that's usually used for animals to eat, but could be, under emergencies, usually during a time of famine, could be eaten by humans. In these species, which are extraordinarily not extraordinarily food and ordinarily not food, you're still mechayev and maestros in it, and that's why it's going to come up here. Karshine maeser sheni. Vetch, bitter vetch of Maaser Sheni, Yeyachlu Tzimchonin, should be eaten as shoots, again, when it's young and it's still fresh and green, and so it's edible. Once they become dry later on, they're inedible, and once you're done, you can leave it to dry and you can feed it to animals. V'nichnasin Yerushalayim v'yotzim, and you are allowed to bring your vetch into Yerushalayim, and then leave with it again. Normally, produce of Maaser Sheni that's brought into Yerushalayim cannot be taken out of Yerushalayim again. It has to be consumed there. But this doesn't apply to Maaser Sheni from this crop of vetch. Nitma'u, if they became Tamei, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Yischalku L'Isos. Rabbi Tarfon says the only way to deal with it is to break it into tiny pieces. It can't be redeemed anymore. So what you do is you break the tiny pieces and put each one into a separate dough. And because it's not the size of a kezias, it is not going to be considered significant in terms of the tumah that it would put into the dough. What you do is you take each one smaller than a kebeah and you put each one into a larger maaser sheni dough, and if it has such a small volume, it can't convey tumah to the rest of the food, so larger dough doesn't become contaminated, and then you're eating vetch rolls. The chachamim disagree and say you can be poded. Even though it's bitter vetch Maaser Sheni that's become tameh, just like any other Maaser Sheni, you can redeem it later. Once you pay the pidyon, you use the money to buy regular food, and you can give the vetch and feed it to animals if you want to. Bitter vetch, because it's primarily an animal fodder, you're allowed to do that with. Ordinary, regular human food that once it has become kadosh in any way, like Maaser Sheni, that you can't feed to your animals. But vetch is in a different situation. Vishel truma, and now getting back to Rabbi Shimon's point about truma, if you've got bitter vetch truma, there are a bunch of different kulos that you have here. Beshame omrim, shorin v'shafin b'tahara. We soak and we pound it in tahara. The way bitter vetch is prepared is that you soak it and then pound it to get the seeds out of the pods. Some say that you pound it into meal, into little teeny tiny particles. Beishame says if your hands are tameh, you can't prepare vetch that way. You have to have tahar hands, just as we saw in the previous Mishnah. So you can eat it under conditions of tumah, but the preparation has to be under conditions of tara. Uma achilin betumah. And you can take bitter vetch, truma, and feed it to your animals under conditions of tumah. Bitter vetch, maaser sheni, you're not supposed to feed to your animals until after it becomes tameh later. But here we have Beis Shammai saying, l'chachilo, you can just feed it to your animals, because that's the primary purpose of vetch. Beis Hillel omrim, shorim betahara. Beis Hillel say, just like we saw with fenugreek, you soak it betahara, because when it gets wet, it's machshir l'tuma. But b'shafen u'machilin b'tuma. You can pound it, you can feed it to the animals in tuma. Shammai omer, Shammai himself said, differently possibly, than the recorded opinion of Beis Shammai, who say that you can feed bitter vetch truma while your hands are tameh without any kind of restriction. But Shammai Omer, Shammai says, Yeyachlu tsarid, it is eaten dry. The vetch cannot obviously be prepared in such a way that it receives truma when it's fed to the animal. So you can't let it be wet. You can soak it and leave it to dry, and then give the dry vetch to go give it to the animals if you want to. But it's a little more machmir that you have to be very careful not to make it clear that you're making it wet in any obvious way. Rabbi Akiva Omer, kol ma'aseh in betumah. Rabbi Akiva, who is the most makil of all of them, say you can do anything to this bitter vetch that you want, and you can do it betumah. All the preparation, the soaking, the pounding, the feeding to the animals, go right ahead. You don't have to keep any tahara of this truma in any way. Parak Beis Mishnah Hay. Now, from here on, for the next several Mishnayos, we're going to deal with the idea of money changing and of changing some coins into cheaper coins or more expensive coins when it comes to Maaser Sheni. Mos Chulin and Mos Maaser Sheni Shenispazru. You had Chulin coins and Maaser Sheni coins, and they all became scattered all over the floor. What are you supposed to do? Masha Lokat, whatever he gathered, whatever he picked up, as he picks them up one at a time, then L'Maaser Sheni Ad Sheyashlim. He should count the initial coins as he's picking them up to go towards the Maaser Sheni, the Hasha'ar Chulin, and then the rest of the coins, once he's completed the Maaser Sheni total that he had before, the rest of it's going to be Chulin. So if he dropped 200 coins on the floor, and only 100 of them were Maaser Sheni, then the first 100 that he picks up are going to be Maaser Sheni, and all the rest of them are going to be Chulin. What happens if he only finds 196 coins? Then Chulin loses the other four, meaning he loses them out of pocket, and the Maaser Sheni is going to get its 100 that you dropped in the first place. The problem is, says the Yerushalmi, that we don't know that the actual coins he picked up are the same as the actual original Maaser Sheni coins that he dropped. In fact, it's pretty unlikely. So he has to make it tonight as he's picking them up. And when he's finished, he should say, all the coins that I collected are all Maaser Sheni coins, then everything is fine. If not, then the Kedusha of the Maaser Sheni coins should be nifta, should be deconsecrated on these 100 coins. Whichever of them are Chulin, there should be a deconsecration. So that, by making that tanai out loud, is going to take care of any problems in terms of what he actually picked up. On the other hand, im bolal v'chofan, if, on the other hand, they fell in a jumble and he scooped up handfuls of them, so he made piles of them, then l'fi cheshbon, then we reckon it out in a proportional way. What do we mean by that? If half the coins were Maaser Sheni and half the coins were Chulin, and then he picks up handfuls of these coins, and he's not exactly sure, picking them up one at a time, how many he's picking up each time, so we don't say you pick up Maaser Sheni coins until that number is finished. Instead, we divide the coins that he found in a proportionate way. If it was half and half, and he gathers 196 this time, then 98 will be Maaser Sheni, and 98 will be Chulin, and that's just the way it's going to go. If some of them are lost, then both Maaser Sheni and the Chulin are going to lose out. Zeh HaKlal, and this is the general rule. Hamis locked in L'Maaser Sheni. Whatever you pick one at a time goes to Maaser Sheni. Bahaniv Lalim, and those that are jumbled or gathered together, L'fi Cheshbon, are going to be reckoned in a proportional way, so that both the Maaser Sheni and the Chulin are going to lose out equivalently.